This episode of The Next Step is made possible through a grant from Harutyun Kelecha. It's Theophany Eve, and we're going to invite you to take a look inside of the manger. You'll be surprised what you see. It may not be that little baby, maybe something all grown up. Wouldn't that be wild? We'll also look at some of the extra towns on our maps, as well as some obligatory comments by some people that we wish weren't obligatory. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the spiritual, the emotional, the psychological, and everything else in between. Episode number 448 is ready to go of The Next Step. We're inviting you to take it with us right now.
This is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The Next Steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
Well, Happy New Year's. Welcome to the first edition of The Next Step in 2017. A nice mark in time to mark where we're going. Yeah, more than what we've done, where we're going. I know, she always says, like, it's, we're in our, like, ninth year. That's exciting. That's exciting. But it also is a mark in time to tell us where we are going. And I hope that's the spirit in which we're taking the new year. I hope wherever you're at right now, you had a beautiful celebration of the coming of 2017, as in New Year's Eve, right? We celebrate those eves, don't we? Well, guess what? Today is also an Eve, and I hope you're going to be celebrating this Eve as well. Tonight is Theophany Eve. It is the Eve before Theophany, the revelation of God. Yeah, you know Epiphany, right? There is a revelation. You know Epiphany. This is Theophany. Theo, of course, God, the revelation of God. Asvadzahaidnutun in Armenian. Cool word, which literally means exactly that. Asvads Theo, God, and Haidnutun is, well, the Epiphany, is the revelation. And so the revelation of God. We'll be talking a little bit more about this, and just a little bit more, because we've done so much programming about it, but you could never say enough. And so leave it to Father Voskin to put a new spin to it today, and I hope you'll enjoy that as well. I wanted to start off with something really, well, unexpected for me. This morning I woke up and I saw this beautiful presentation on YouTube, and I want to share it with you because it's a really an appropriate way to bring in the new year. And today's already the fifth of the year, already 4 days behind us. And I know people make resolutions. I don't know, I used to make resolutions for New Year's. Now I've gotten into the habit of just making resolutions all the time. I don't know how many are successful, but throughout the year, I find ways of just making resolutions and making them, trying to make them stick. But of course, it's always convenient around January 1st to make those resolutions because it is this mark in time. It's a big mark in time, right? You get to say, we've been around the sun once, and it is 2017 now. Goodbye to 2016, and so on. Anyway, I heard this beautiful presentation this morning. It's called, let me see, what is it called? Truth Bomb Mom. Oh, it even rhymes when I said it. I guess when I wrote it down, it didn't rhyme. Truth Bomb Mom. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed. It's a few minutes. She could say it better than I can, and I want to share it with you. Here it is.
So full disclosure, I am terrible at New Year's resolutions. January 1st, it's going great. Everything's great. But January 2nd, it's all falling apart completely. But there's something I did 4 years ago that I'm going to do again this coming year, and I'm really excited about it. So what you need to know about me is that I am by nature kind of a pessimist. I just tend to think negative. It's the way my mind works. And so I have been working on this for years to try to become a more positive person. So 4 years ago, right before New Year's, I decided that for the following year, every single night before I fall asleep, I'm going to take my phone, go to the notes section and I'm going to write down something good that happened that day. Now, it couldn't be like a general thing like, I have a roof above my head. No, it had to be something very specific that happened that day that was good. Some days were easy, really easy, and then there were really hard days because I was up for a job that I really, really, really wanted and I got rejected, so that was a tough day. And then the hardest day that year, I had a miscarriage. I miscarried twins, and as you can imagine, I was devastated. So I have the surgery, and I come home, and I have to tell my older two children this horrible news, so now they're devastated because they're really looking forward to this, and I am just so sad and disappointed and angry, and I'm in so much physical pain. I'm bleeding, and I'm laying there in bed, holding my phone and going, I can't do it. I can't do it today. Like, there is literally nothing good that happened today. Beginning to end, today just sucked. I sat there and sat there and sat there, and the only thing I could come up with was there was something about the way my husband tucked me into bed after bringing me home from the hospital. It was just so loving and comforting, and so I wrote that down. And that may seem really simple, but think about it. If I hadn't been doing this little exercise, I would have gone to bed that night feeling I am miserable. But instead, the last thought I had before I went to sleep that night was, I am so loved. I'm so loved. I'm telling you right now, if you do this for 365 days every single day, it will change your life. It literally changed me. It forced me to focus on the good that is in my life. It made me a happier person. It made me love my life more. So I'm doing it again this coming year, and I want you to do it with me. Find something good in each day, even the most terrible days.
What did I tell you? Did you say it nicely? I hope you enjoyed it. I'll have a link on today's show notes to that video, but very appropriate, of course, with the new year, but appropriate all the time. I think it's a difficult challenge for a lot of people. I definitely know it's a challenge for me. Sometimes life gets so difficult. Sometimes the negative really outweighs the positive, and to focus on that good in each day of our life really is a challenge. And she's absolutely right. It's not only a challenge, but it can become a habit. That's what's beautiful. You do it enough times, it becomes a habit. And certainly, it's a great time to start right now. You know, look for that goodness in your life, even on those days where you just cannot find it, to find those little things that really make a difference and focus on those things. And it's not like you're fooling yourself. There's really, sometimes when you do these kind of things, do these exercises, there's a tendency to believe that, okay, well, it's just a temporary fix. It's just a Band-Aid on something that needs to be really repaired. That may be so, but don't forget, those Band-Aids are important. Those Band-Aids hold it all together. Sometimes the wound underneath isn't ready to be healed, and you do need those Band-Aids to be put on there until that healing takes place. But it is those Band-Aids that puts it all together, right? It keeps the wound together and keeps yourself together. And at the end of it, you've got a healing. It's small steps. And the bandage, is the bandage. Was that okay? I got a marker over here that's a product name, just like Kleenex. Do you say Kleenex? I know it's a facial tissue. No, we use Kleenex. I tape my papers with Scotch tape, and right now it is a Band-Aid that we put on the wound. Okay, we put that Band-Aid on the wound, and it keeps it all together. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed today's little segment of, this is called The Truth Bomb Mom. And I really enjoyed it, and so much so that I subscribed to her YouTube channel as well, and I hope you'll do the same. Anyway, we are at the beginning of the year, and there's so much to talk about. I want to share with you some of the exciting stuff that's been happening and things that give us concern. And not in a negative sense. When I bring up these issues, yes, yeah, sometimes they do seem negative. And I'm only mentioning this because it's in stark contrast to what she just said a few minutes ago. But it's also important that when we do this negative analysis, when we look at negative news, and certainly there's so much in the world, it's important that we see ourselves as part of the solution. And that's really the biggest challenge. Can we see ourselves as part of the solution? I'm going to share with you something that I noticed that's been going all around. It's been kind of difficult for me, this transition period that I've been taking personally from parish life to full-blown out ministry. It's been a difficult challenge because in a parish life, you have a small group of people that are rallying around you. Now, it's kind of nebulous now. We're just out there, you know, and there's people and definitely you listeners. I appreciate it so much. And that's why I tell you at the end of the show how much I appreciate your comments and your prayers, because sometimes it gets lonely. It's a microphone and it's, of course, smiling Susie over here. But Ken, he's a difficult one. Okay. You got to look at that guy. That's a tough one. No, what I'm saying, it is a lonely position, and you're out here and you're talking and you're hoping people are going to pick up some of this. And I got to tell you, it's been exciting to hear the places that this show gets picked up, the different places that people are receptive to it. So much so, I got to tell you this. This is a secret, okay? Oh, maybe I shouldn't tell you. Let me say it in this way, okay? It's an old thing that I learned many, many years ago. Before GPS navigation, there used to be such a thing called maps. No, not an app. Yeah, maps. They were paper. Remember there? You'd unfold it. And it would usually take up the good size of a table, of a desk, and you'd look through it. And then later on, we had Thomas guides, which were kind of interesting. You'd go through an index, and you'd find the name of a street, and it would give you the coordinates, and you'd find out where that street is. If you're familiar with the Thomas guides, the difficulty in navigating those was that you couldn't get your whole trip on one page, so you'd have to go through different pages, going from one page to the other, and flipping around, sometimes through hundreds of pages before you found your actual place. This sounds like nonsense unless you're an old fossil like us, where you understand what maps are. But anyway, what I was saying is, in the olden days, we had these maps, and one of the things that I learned, map makers would intentionally put in a small street here or there. They'd put in a little dot to signify a small little town, perhaps, with a name on it. That didn't exist. Well, why did they do this? Well, of course, copyright. I mean, it's a pain to put together a map. You know, you have to map out that whole thing. Well, imagine somebody else coming. XYZ company produces this map, and then ABC company comes over and just photographs that map and sells it as their own. Well, guess what? They've also photographed that small little town. That didn't exist. That doesn't exist in reality. And it's obscure, by the way. It's not like right in the middle of Civic Center, you'll find that they put a street in there. No. It's an obscure area in the map so that, you know, you just kind of like look at it and you wouldn't know that it's there. But they would know for copyright reasons if somebody was to infringe on the copyright or was to make a copy of that map. They could always go back and say, well, you see this little dot here? We added this dot, and this ABC company has now replicated that, and we know that that is our product. And basically, it was a way that old map makers used to insure against people from copying them after doing all that work, and understandably so. And so, along the way, here on the next step, guess what? Well, we don't add critical things. No, we don't. But we do say a couple little things. I don't want to say that it's in the same spirit as these map makers, but we do say those things to at least stimulate some discussion and stimulate some thought process. And you know that I'm big on that, right? Okay, we'll challenge you by putting together something and saying, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this particular area in relationship? I'm not talking about in the civic center. I'm not talking about something different right in the middle of our faith. Like, oh, there was Jesus born of Mary and Joseph was there. And by the way, there was also this handmaiden who was the mother of Mary Magdalene and she was there too. No, no, we're not talking about something like that. We're talking about something obscure, like along with those stars in the sky, there's also this tiny little one on the side over there. Okay? Anyway, along the way, there have been opportunities where we have engaged the audience in thought, in discussion. And what has been exciting for me, it happened on two occasions over this past Christmas season, was that two different people went for it, went for the bait, and actually introduced these ideas in their thought process. And it was so obvious that it came from the next step. And so it's really kind of been exciting for me to know that even though, you know, sometimes, you know, we're out there on the fringes in many, many instances, and in many instances people may not wish to admit it, but they're definitely listening. And they're listening and they're picking up, which is really what the important function of these kind of podcasts, these kind of messagings are all about. It's to get us to think. And so in that respect, one of my frustrations over the last, I'd say a month, about a month, has been just this desire by people to really take the comfortable path on Merry Christmas. And I when I say over the month, I've talked about this in the past. I've certainly been troubled by it in the past. But this year, it was just very, very obvious to me. And it was very overtly done. In other words, this whole idea about Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, people used to get very incensed that, you know, people would say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. And I shared with you one of my concerns that we're taking the easy way out by saying Merry Christmas. Do we really mean Christmas in our lives? And for several years, we had a challenge, which we had this model church in Glendale, where people actually were understanding that it was about reaching out, about sharing with other people. And things fell apart this year. Things unfortunately fell apart when we saw that really those kind of ideas are nice, but they are the harder road to take. The easier roads are to say Merry Christmas. It's very easy. What's difficult is to extend yourself to a homeless person and to see Jesus Christ being born in that homeless person. What? Oh no, they're smelly, ugly people, right? That's what Jesus says when he says, when you've done it to the least of my brothers, you've done it to me. Yeah, sometimes we've got to get out of our comfort level, and there are smelly, ugly things in this world. Are we willing to reach out to those smelly, ugly things? And I'm sorry to say it this way. I hope you understand the spirit in which I'm saying it. It's not to be callous. It's just basically how people view these things. That's not Christianity. That is not church. And I guess I felt this just last night when I saw on one of the distributions of the former church we were at, a beautiful, beautiful icon, and on it it said, Christos Zanaviev Haidnetsov. Beautiful reference, Christ is born and revealed. And the icon was so beautiful. It's of Mother Mary touching the Jesus in the manger, and all around the heavenly hosts singing, and the shepherds and everything. And I guess what really kind of got to me was the number of people that this excited. People get excited about this. And so many people are talking about Christos Zanaviev Haidnetsov. Wonderful. That's what Christmas is all about, right? It's a reminder to tell us that Jesus is born. It's a reminder that, yes, once a year we're supposed to slow down and and focus in on this. But where's the reminder that we're supposed to do this every single day of our lives? And this is what's hurtful to me. We tried to really push it, the limits, and say that, you know, every single day we have this opportunity to bring Christ in this world, but we are in our comfort level. So it's okay to talk about, you know, let's go bomb the hell out of North Korea because we don't care for what they're talking about. Let's go and raise sanction against this country or that country so the people can starve. Let's go and watch how people in the deserts are blown out of their caves. But you know what? On Christmas, we'll take a truce and we'll smile and we'll pretend everything is okay. It's a difficult one for me. When I see those pictures, those beautiful icons, and I see them and it says, Christos Zanaviev Haidnetsov, to me, they kindle in me this feeling, this warmth, that this is where it began, the possibility began. And I now have the option to take that babe in the manger and to throw that out to the world, so that we can see the possibilities of hope, of peace in our lives, that we can be those instruments of peace, bringing about hope in the lives of people, bringing about love. And so to me, that same picture, Christos Zanaviev Haidnetsov, Christ is born and revealed, instead of that picture, would people react the same way if it wasn't an icon, but instead it was, well, we did an incredible toy drive again this year. Would it be the same reaction if we were to show a hand reaching out and passing along a toy to a child who 364, the rest of the year, has only been crying because he or she has been a witness to his parents' abuse of one another and now is in a foster home and can't smile until that small little toy came into his hand? Or instead of that icon of Mary and Joseph, of the host of the heavenly hosts and the wise men coming, can we see a picture of a man huddled in a small little tent underneath a bridge because the rain is coming, and seeing a group of people walking by and passing out blankets? Or even more than that, maybe just stopping by and saying hello and saying, you know, we're thinking about you. Is there anything we can get for you? In other words, can we transform the picture of Jesus into real life as Jesus wanted us to do it? When you do it for the least of my brothers, you do it for me. What does this mean? That we're supposed to go around saying Merry Christmas to one another and adoring these little babes in mangers? Or are we supposed to start transforming those icons into the real life, into real life settings where we have opportunities to engage? I was invited yesterday to a group that probably most Armenian priests, and I would venture to say probably most Christian priests, would probably not want to go. And the invitation came so sincerely. Came and said, would you honor us by giving a Christmas blessing at our activity? Now, how in my head, I was saying, how can I possibly say no? Considering that the vast majority of people would tell me that I'm in my right to just say no. But how can you? How can you deny a blessing when someone is asking? How can you deny the presence of Christ in the midst of a group that is asking for it? It reminded me of Matthew. Remember the tax collector? Jesus went to his house. Remember that? Now, tax collectors were not good people. They still aren't. But they were hated people back then. Why? Because they were usually Jews who were working for the Romans, the occupiers. Yeah. So it was a double negative there. And Matthew asks Jesus to come to his house. Jesus does. His disciples got upset. Peter got upset. What are you doing? You're going into this tax collector's house? Yeah, I am. He asked for a blessing. He invited me in. You didn't. See, that's the other part that we don't add to it. This person invited me in. This person didn't. And when I look at these pictures of mangers and these beautiful, beautiful iconography that's prevalent so many places. And I think being a little bit sensitive to it as an Armenian priest, I see so many of our people passing around iconography from different traditions and saying, you know, this is beautiful and this is gorgeous. Well, that's really nice. Now, are you willing to be a piece of that icon? Because that's what those icons are all about. That's what those pictures are. That's what Christmas is all about. It's to invite you to be a member of that Christmas party. So that when you see Jesus in the manger, you are one of the wise men. You are one of the shepherds. You are one of the angels that is witnessing this incredible miracle. And are you willing to do that right now today in 2017? When you see the lonely, when you see the suffering, when you see someone in the hospital, when you see the bereaved, are you willing to take that extra step? And say that is Jesus. That is my Christmas call. That is me reaching out at Christmas, sharing. God sent these wise men, frankincense, myrrh, gold, to baby Jesus. Guess what? God has given me a life, has given me a smile that's worth more than all the gold in the world. Because I can have that gold, but I can't have that smile, can I? But he's given me that smile on my face. God has given me warm blood inside of my body, which is worth way more than all the precious oils, the myrrh that's out there. Because you know what? With all those precious oils and everything, he can't get that warm blood inside of you. God has given me, has given me life. And you know what? You can blow all the incense you want, but if you can't blow, you don't have any life. Right, he's giving you that breath. Okay, now, so you've got the breath, you've got the smile, you've got the warm blood. Guess what? You've got the greatest gifts in your hands. You are better than those three wise men that we always talk about. Let it be 20 wise men. Let it be one wise man. You are better than the three gifts that they bring. You've got life in you. These wise men had tangible objects. You've got something so incredible inside of you. You've got love inside of you. Can you share that? Can you give that to the baby Jesus that's all around you? Can you put an extra smile on somebody's face who needs one? Can you extend yourself to somebody who is hurting? Can you pray for somebody? Can you take the tangible wealth that you have and make somebody's life a little bit better? You see, looking in the manger, Jesus is asking us to see not him, but to see the face of humanity, to see the world. And yes, the world is messed up right now. We've got things that we cannot even explain. With what's going on in Syria, with what's going on with the general feeling of people not willing to give of themselves, with this basic me first attitude, with materialism now going rampant. We've got a world that is really in need of something very, very simple. And that's a message of love. It is not more complicated than that. That's how simple it is. And that's what we see in that simple manger. The presence of love. Let's take a break right now. I'm going to play a beautiful song for you on this Theophany Eve. It is called Luisi Luso. It is a hymn of the Armenian Church, especially for this feast, The Light from Light. Thank you. We went a little old school today. Lucine Zakarian. Ah, you know what? That voice still gets to me. A cappella singing Lucy Lusso. That is off the St. Etchmiadzin album, Holy Etchmiadzin album. I had the good fortune of being at Etchmiadzin Seminary during the years that Lucine was still with us, and she would grace us every Sunday morning singing the Badarak at Holy Etchmiadzin. Unparalleled to me, it's just a voice that you can't find. I know there's some really beautiful voices out there, but it's different. There's a. Remember, I was sharing with you a couple weeks ago about Bayraktarian, about Isabel. You know, it's a different thing when you feel it, when you believe it, and I certainly feel the same way about Lucine's voice. And Lucine Zakarian, there'll be a link on today's show notes to whatever link we can find for it. But it did give us a chance to, while we were listening to that here in the studio, we were just discussing about, you know, basically what we talked about the first portion of today's show is really an indictment on the church, that we have just been given a bill of goods. And yes, it is an indictment that we can't play by the same rules. And, you know, we're organizing this conference in March, and a dear friend of ours came up to us just a couple days ago and said, my daughter's been invited to go to Italy for a conference organized by the Pope, and the topic is divesting from groups, divesting from companies that promote fossil fuels, and definitely connected with the ecosystem and global warming and so on. And it's interesting because at the Pope's level, at the Catholic, Roman Catholic level, you have young people who are engaged in this kind of activity, in this kind of talk. And when we come down to the Armenian church or some of these ethnic churches, there has to be an indictment given on them, because we've got to get out of this idea of that Jesus is in the manger, that that's where we're going to see Jesus. The real manger is this world. The real manger is all around us. Now, that being said, then you hear this beautiful rendition of Lucy Lusso by Lucine Zakarian, and that brings you back to the world of icons. It brings you back to the beauty. Well, yeah, that's what's the beauty of having the Armenian church. It's the inspiration that's there. It inspires us, but that inspiration has to move us. Whether it's an icon, Lucine's voice, it has to move us beyond the superficial, to really explore and understand the presence of God all around us. Lucine Zakarian, Lucy Lusso.
There were three men came out of the west. Their fortunes for to try. And these three men made a solemn vow. John Barleycorn must die.
Now, does it matter whether the three men came from the east or the west? I know, two different stories, but a nice little transition. Tonight is Gerakalutz. It is the eve of Theophany. And as I mentioned, you have this beautiful feast in the Armenian church, the revelation of God. And it is, as we know, and as we certainly have learned this past couple of weeks, do you know that video that we placed just before Western Christmas, I believe it was on December 23rd that it aired. It has now over 130,000 views. It has an all assortment of people talking about it. It's the video about the difference between December 25th and January 6th. And the basic conclusion that I came to in that video is that really it's a celebration of all year long. You know, don't worry about these dates. But you know what? It's like people can't handle it. They just they cannot handle it. You got to see some of those responses on there. I opened it up this morning so I could comment on it here. There's still people on there discussing, well, you know, the Russians, they celebrated on January 7th. And you know what? You got it all wrong. That priest should really learn a little bit more about the history. Oh, get over it, people. Get over it, people. Do you think when you are standing in front of your maker, he's going to care whether you celebrated it on December 25th or January 6th, or he's going to look you in the eye and say, what did you do with that life that I gave you? I think that's what he's going to ask. What did you do with that life that I gave you? I think he's going to say, I could care less about those dates, because guess what? Those dates have no meaning to me. That's something you guys invented because of the way the earth goes around the sun. You have a certain calendar, but guess what? My calendar is that of the cosmos. So let's get over those dates and let's worry about the essential about loving one another. But people are out there. That's what they're doing. They are squabbling over these kind of things. And so it was yesterday that I was with the Archbishop. We had gone to Glendale Adventist Hospital. And there we were going to do the blessing, water blessing, the blessing of water. Is that right? You know what? Lately I've been calling it water blessing because that's what it is. But traditionally we've been calling it the blessing of water. Right? Churortnik. Water blessing. In Armenian, churortnik. Water blessing. So, we were doing water blessing. The reason is, as I've mentioned, and as you've seen through the videos, and you understand now, right, that originally Jesus' birth and baptism were celebrated together. And through the centuries, especially in the early centuries, the December 25th date was adopted for the nativity. And until today, the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, the mainline Protestant churches all celebrate the birth on one day and January 6th as Epiphany or the baptism of Christ. And at that baptism event, as we see from Holy Scripture, the Holy Trinity, at that unique, in that singularity, we see that the Holy Trinity is revealed. Jesus, the Son of God, enters into the water, is baptized by John the Baptist. The Spirit of God descends upon him in the form of a dove. And Father, God the Father, his voice is heard saying, "This is my Son, and I am well pleased." And there you go. You've got the revelation of God, the Godhead, the Holy Trinity, at this unique moment in history. And so we call it in the Armenian Church, not Epiphany, we call it Theophany. Astvaza Haidnutyun. Not Haidnutyun, Astvaza Haidnutyun. It is the revelation of God. And you know what? People can give all kinds of answers to it. It's basically because they're not familiar with taking God outside of the comfort levels, of those boundaries, of those areas. And that's what we challenge you to do. Because I think God challenges us first. These stories, they all came about later on. You know that. We all know that. There was nobody recording these stories at the time of Jesus' birth. Why? Because Jesus wasn't an exceptional person. Jesus was not exceptional at his birth. He was just another prophet, at the most, who was born. But he wasn't even that. I mean, if he was a prophet, he'd get the top suite at the local hospital. He got a small little manger in a barn, right? It was later, after his resurrection, when he conquered death, that we realized that this was no ordinary human being. This was not a prophet. This was way more. This is somebody who had power over death. And it was after that resurrection that the stories of nativity started developing, because people wanted to know. Hey, I want to know too, right? And look at the most obscure, the farthest from Jesus, okay? Look at the new president of the United States to be in the next few weeks, right? Yeah, he was some guy out there. People were interested in him. They followed his shows. They were interested because he made a lot of money. But when he got elected, when he had that victory, now people said, oh, where was he born? Who is he? What does he do? Where did he come from? What was his youth like? And so on and so on. It's natural. When he was a kid, nobody cared about him, Nobody cared about him. But after he got elected, after the victory, then everybody said, oh, let's find out more about him, right? So too with Jesus. After his victory over the grave, over the death, people said, we want to know more about him. Let's learn about him. And so we have the stories of the nativity, the stories of when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the stories of the, and most of those stories were developed in reference to big events. Like, for instance, they knew who the emperor was at the time. They knew that there was a census taking place. There's documentations that we cross-reference to. We have the writings, for instance, of Josephus, who've collaborate or at least come close to saying that there was a Jesus in Palestine walking around through Jerusalem and so on and so on. Okay, so we've got these narratives over there. But the centrality of Jesus' message is found in the works that he does during those 3 years after his baptism. And so Theophany is the celebration of his nativity and his baptism, the revelation of God at these events, the revelation of the Godhead at the baptism. And yesterday we were at the hospital, as I said, and we were going to celebrate the blessing of water. And we do this. We drip holy oil, holy myron into the water, and we distribute that water as a blessing, as a reminder of the baptism. And there we were in the hospital, and we had just celebrated this beautiful service, and some of the patients had come out, but mostly it was for the staff and the doctors who tend to those patients in the premier largest hospital in the area. And there's the Armenian Archbishop, a couple of his priests next to him, and we did this. And it was beautiful. And Archbishop spoke a beautiful message to everyone. And then the service was over. Guess who they invited? The mayor of Glendale. Paula Devine, she's standing there, and they say, well, we're so happy that the mayor of Glendale is here. Let her come up and speak. It's obligatory. It's an obligation. And of course, big smile on her face. And guess what? She gets up and she talks about the message of hope. How what the Archbishop did is the message of hope. It's the hope. But guess what was missing out of her message? Well, obviously, do I need to tell you? Christ was missing. There's no message of Christ, and we don't expect that message of Christ. But we shouldn't expect her to talk on a day of celebration of Christ. But for some reason, there's this obligation of bringing in these political figures as if they're going to tell us something. And she tells us about hope, and that's when it hit me. Is that hope possible without Christ? And I want to tell you very emphatically, no, it isn't. And I'm not talking about that babe in the manger. I'm talking about the Christ, which is the personification of love. You cannot have hope unless you have love. And that love is not something in the manger. That love is something that has to transcend that manger into your life right now. What does that mean? It gives us hope. What, the water gives you hope? The prayer gives you hope? No. You've got to understand that Jesus Christ, the personification of love, is in our midst. And so they gave this obligatory thing to this woman, and she got up and she spoke. And there was no mention of Christ. And it took me back a few years ago. I shared this with you too. When I had gone to, they had invited me to Glendale City Council. Glendale's an interesting little town. It's a small little town that wants to be big, you know. It's a meaningless little place. And its claim to fame is now because of the Armenians. Earlier, it was because of different ethnic groups. And it's a little far off from Los Angeles, but still close enough. And it was interesting because a few years ago when they invited me to go and speak about domestic violence, and here's the priest talking about domestic violence. And, you know, one of the... one of the clerks in Glendale City Council comes up to me, and she's an Armenian lady, so tries to parlay the Armenian with me and tells me that, you know, we're not supposed to invoke the name of a deity. I said, Jesus Christ? Yes. You may talk about faith, you may talk about love, you may talk about hope, but you can't use the word Jesus Christ. And I just looked at her, I said, what planet are you from? I'm an American. I'm standing inside of a city chamber, and I'm coming here as a priest. Don't tell me. You can pull that on other people, and it's tragic that you do, but don't pull it on me. I know what my rights are, and I know what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable. And I went ahead and I talked about what has moved me to do this mission to the people. And it's really interesting because there's this concerted effort to do away with Christ from the story. And now what I felt yesterday was to do away with Christ from the Christmas story too. And what does it hurt people to understand that Jesus Christ has a set of principles that come with him? And they begin at that manger, in the humility at that manger, and they go through until he got down on his knees and he washed the dirty feet of his disciples and saying, it is in service, it is in recognition of the life around us that we define ourselves as human beings. You want to be God, first be a human being. And I'll show you the path. I will show you the way. I will show you the truth. And he does through example. The exemplary life that he lives in this world. By going and parlaying with people that you and I would otherwise consider unclean, unhealthy. But he's there. And he's saying, here's the example. You see, the challenge that's on us right now in this world is people are telling us that Christ is reserved for that little manger. I've told you about, there was a supervisor here in Los Angeles County, Antonovich, just really kind of like politically different angle, but it was kind of really interesting because every year he would send a Christmas card that was filled with all kinds of Christmas messages. Well, the Christmas messages weren't from the New Testament, and that always irritated me. I never understood that. You know, how could you talk about Christmas without the New Testament? Isaiah said, okay, you know what, we say it, Urachim, I'm happy, okay. But the Christmas message is that Jesus Christ is in our midst. And anyway, this year he didn't win the election, and so nobody got Christmas cards. That's interesting, huh? Or at least his constituents didn't get Christmas cards. But it's basically trying to make a religion that's absent, in which Jesus is absent. And that's fine. You can do that, but don't call it Christianity. Don't call it Christianity. Christianity is on the centrality of Jesus Christ. And what we're talking about, Armodoxy over here, when I'm talking about Armodoxy, talking about the most ancient of all Christian traditions, in which we understand that the centrality of Christ meant that we are connected to something greater than what was in the manger that day. Something that was greater. A beautiful poem, Jesus, he came not to a throne, but to a manger. He lived not as a king, but as a servant. He chose not a kingdom, but a cross. He gave not just a little, but everything. He's the center. Jesus Christ is the center of Christianity. You remove him, you don't have Christianity. And this is what's happening to us right now. We are getting farther and farther away from accepting what Christianity is because we've been given a bill of goods that doesn't conform to the reality of Christianity. Jesus would find it offensive, the way we're doing it right now. Putting his name on cards, saying Merry Christmas, and not meaning it. Do you want to mean it? Reach out to people. Help people. Love people. Go beyond the lip service of sending out a card, of saying Merry Christmas. Those are all cute things. You know it. I like it too. I love Christmas carols. Until now, I've been playing Christmas carols. I love all that. But what good is all of that if I'm not willing to transform it into actions? This is our challenge. This is the challenge of Christmas. This is the challenge of the new year. Transforming that faith into reality and good works. It's no different than what the early apostles demanded of us. It's no different than what Jesus demanded of us from the first day that he was with us. And he said, I am here as a servant. I am here to give you life and give it abundantly. I am here to give you eternal life. You want all that? It's easy. It's not hard. He gives you the way. He gives you the truth. He gives you the life. All you need to do is plug into it and say, yes, that babe in the manger, that theophany, that revelation of God is something that I want to live in. I want to be there at the manger, and I want to take my gifts, and I want to look in that manger and not see this cute little baby sitting there, but I want to see this cute humanity that's in need today more than ever of help, that is struggling with difficulties. I want to put my feet in the shoes of my fellow human being and walk in their shoes, talk with them, to share with them, to give of myself to them. There's your challenge. That's what originally the Armenian church was. When you look at the writings of Datevatsi, when you look at the ancient writings of the church fathers, it was all about helping one another. Why the first Christian churches? Look at the story of Saint Stephen. What was it about? It was about extending themselves and helping people. The widows, the people who cannot take care of themselves. That's what church is all about. And all of these nice little parties everybody's doing and these nice little cupcakes and stuff like that. I got to tell you, being out of a parish, I miss so much of it. But there is a part that I can't say that I really miss. And I saw it again over the last few days, just talking about things that don't matter, things that really absolutely don't matter. Whether you serve your cake on napkins or on styrofoam plates doesn't matter. But what does matter is that are you taking that cake to somebody who is hungry? There's the question, right? That's how easy it is. Anyway, this is how we start the new year. Can we find something positive in every day of our lives? I think we can. And I think the positive story of today is that Jesus Christ is born. That's the positive thing. That God is with us right now, is revealed. And think about that for a moment. We started off this show saying about, this is the new year, we're going to think about one positive thing in the world. Can you think about this incredible positive thing that is happening today? Jesus Christ in our midst. God is revealed. Now, keep it along that same tradition and make God revealed every single day. You've got your positive thing. So then now you can just do a cut and paste. God is revealed, and paste it 365 times a year on your list. But that would be too easy. So I'm challenging you to find that God revealed every single day. Find that goodness, and you'll see that your life starts becoming that life that God wants us to live. You find the fulfillment. You answer the question, what is the purpose of my life? You've got the answer right there. It's not given to you by your own understanding, but by God, who is of all eternity. Happy Theophany. Christos Tsunav Yevhaidnetsov. I'll be back right after Susie makes this important announcement. Listen carefully.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you to all of our listeners for your wonderful comments, for those notes that you sent me, and especially your prayers. They go so far in giving us hope, right? Well, very, very important. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your being with us and being a part of this ministry, and especially your donations. They are your active participation in this ministry. So thank you very much. And we hope that we always live up to your trust. We're doing some great things. And of course, the In His Shoes program is the mothership, is the umbrella under which we do all this. And that's developing. It's coming along very nicely. We're excited because in a couple months, we're going to be having this conference, this youth rally, Christian conference in Los Angeles. It's called Reclaim, Embracing Our Faith in a Changing World. Is that cool? Embracing our faith in a changing world, in a weird world, right? Now, listen, if I were you, I would beg, borrow, steal, whatever it took to get out there and to be at this conference. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be something that, you know what, every time I do a conference, every time I do an event, people will come up to me and they'll say afterwards, without a doubt, this has happened every single time, I'm really sorry I missed it. When are you going to do the next one? You know, this happened with our pilgrimage last year when we went to both sides of Ararat. We put it out there. We told people to join us and everything like that. We went there. It was incredible. People came. Oh, you know what? Next time. Well, guess what? Political situation changed. There is going to be no next time where you get to see both sides of Ararat and Artsakh and do that incredible 3 weeks. The same way with this one. This is a one-of-a-kind, unique, unprecedented Christian conference. And you want to be there. Get to our website, embracing-faith.com, embracing-faith.com. You'll have all the information there, and there's new information coming on daily, especially our speakers list. We're going to have people like talking about, you know, it does say youth conference, it does say youth rally, but don't let that scare you if chronologically, if physically, you feel like you are not a young person. If your soul is young, come to it. This is meant for families, young families, older families. It's meant to come to share with one another. So families, we encourage you to be part of this as well. For instance, we're going to have a speaker talking about how to raise children in this world with Christian values, with the values that are so important. We're going to have a speaker talk about Christian ethics in the workplace. What do you do when somebody passes you a note that has some zeros behind a one and says, you know what? Do this favor for me. Christian ethics in the workplace. And I have another one talking about how to find a partner. Yeah, for the younger ones. How to find a partner. And making sure that it's the right partner. Important, right? You're going to have all the usual stuff that you expect from a Father Vazgen concert and conference. Yes, we will have a concert there too. We're going to have a drum circle. It's going to be wild. 3 days, March 10th, 11th, 12th. You get to our website and there's information about where you can park yourself, where you can hang out. There's some hotel names, reservation spots. Please make every effort to be there. It's going to be a very special 3 days. It's called Reclaim. It's for you to reclaim your Armenian church. It's called Reclaim. It's for the Armenian church to reclaim you. It's called Reclaim, embracing our faith in a changing world. And I'm asking you to be a part of this so that you don't regret it afterwards and say that, oh, I wish I was there. No more wishes. Got two months, so you can even get some early bird specials on the pricing, as well as your tickets to arrive here. We'll make sure that we get you from the airport too. Don't worry about that. Just let us know. Yeah, not too many of you. No, just let us know. We will make sure that there's shuttle service and everything, okay? We're looking forward to a great conference that will be sold out. So make your reservations early. That's Reclaim. And go to embracing-faith.com for all of the information, as well as registration forms. Now, that being said, we are at Theophany. I want to do a big shout out to my nephew, Vartan. Vartan is going to be the godfather of the cross tomorrow at the Theophany service in San Francisco at St. John. And we are so proud of him. And this uncle is a little bit sad that he can't attend that one. But I do want to do a shout out to him and my brother Haig and Talin and their happiness on this occasion. As well as to all of you. A shout out to all of you wherever you're going to be for Theophany. Don't forget, it is an opportunity to get not just blessed water, but the blessings from all eternity. To get the blessings of God in your life. Now make sure you use that blessing and bring blessings to others. That's how simple it is. So happy Theophany. That being said, I think we're at the end of today's show. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed putting it together. I did promise you some essential oils. Yeah, I have to say this. We didn't get to it, so stop looking in your mailbox. We didn't get to those oils this week, but I promise by next week. This is a special blend that has been put together with my sister Anush and I. We put it together. It's for meditation. It's for healing. It's for prayer. It's for focus. And there's so much about this oil. It's a special blend that we're going to be sending out to people who have been supportive of our ministry as a way of saying thank you on our behalf. And we really appreciate you being there. And we want to give you this very special oil so that it will promote you. It will help you in your process of finding truth and the experiences that are so important in having a productive life. So God bless you all. Look forward to that. And I, again, my apologies. We wanted to have it about by the new year. It's going to be a couple weeks after the new year. But you know what? All good things are worth the wait. And hey, look at this. We got the next step out on Thursday. I don't know how we reach that deadline, but we always do. Listen, on behalf of this wonderful crew who puts this show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, and me, Father Voskin, we want to wish you a blessed and holy Theophany. Christos Zenaviev Haidnitsav. Christ is born and revealed. Blessed is the revelation of God. Happy Theophany, and until next week, forward to seeing you then, when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of Vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
The reason of the season.